Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Wednesday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
For just a second there, I thought you were going to say it's Freestyle Friday, and I got excited for like a split second thinking that maybe nope. It's Friday, but it's not. Sorry, you guys. It's Wednesday. Yay, Wednesday. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's November 14th, 2012. This is episode 531. Good morning, horse people.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge. The day you risk it all. The day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way.
Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in on this Wednesday. Yep, it's over the hump day. That's right. And believe it or not, a week from tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Jennifer told me that yesterday, and I thought we had another week in here. Somewhere I lost a week, and I thought there was another week to go. But it's a week from tomorrow. It's coming up.
It is crazy because, you know, it's always the fourth Thursday, and the first day of the month was a Thursday. So to me, it seems very, very early as well. I'm used to it being like the 27th, 28th, 29th, somewhere around that time, and it's going to be much earlier this year, which is, you know, fine. It gives you more time to, you know, Christmas shop. Afterwards.
Well, Jamie, I got this text yesterday from you yesterday morning, and it said, taking stud muffins to jail today, that just sounds wrong. So you went to jail yesterday.
I did, and I love it when I text people and I'm like my student was like, hey, what time are we doing today? I was like, let's do 3 o'clock because I'm currently in prison. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're going to have to explain that one. So, yes, the sweetheart people from Stud Muffins who sponsor really bad ads on Fridays sent me a shipment of Stud Muffins to take down to the jail to give to all the horses there. And the jail that we're talking about is where I got Jet, where I got Joey, and this is where Sheriff Joe Arpaio, love him or hate him, he is a huge animal rescue prosecutor. For animal cruelty, and this is where all the horses go that are involved in cruelty cases. Now, once their case is cleared, the people either, God forbid, get them back, or they are surrendered to the state, and then they become adoptable. So I have a student who really has a horse that has been jumping and is just not staying sound for it, and she's going to keep him forever, but she wanted to buy Joey. So he's like, how about we buy Joey? And I said, over my dead body, okay? So I'm so sweet when it comes to that. I should have been like, oh, that's so nice. No, I was like, you can't buy him. He's not for sale. So she said, well, you know, if I can't have Joey, why don't we see if we can go rescue another one from prison? And she's older. She's an accomplished rider, so we could train it together. And so I went down to see if there was, in fact, a horse that fit the description. And I found one. I'm not quite sure how old it is. That's the only question we have. The tattoo, of course, it's a thoroughbred off the track at some point, and the entire tattoo is legible except for the one letter in the front, which is the one letter that tells you how old it is. So we're going to try to get some experts in here and take some pictures and try to figure it out. But for the most part, you can't really tell how old he is. But he is so cute. And I sent Jennifer a video, and I was going to ask her to post the video on her Facebook page. Because to me, look at this horse's trot. It's amazing. It's like a really big, giant, warm-bloody, flat-kneed trot, and it's just really cute. And I wanted to see what everybody thought of it. And I also wanted to give you guys an idea of what it's like down in this tent city prison, because it's there's a round pen. That's all they really have to turn out. I mean, it's very small. I mean, they're in jail, so it's not like they have, you know, the open range to go roam around on. And most of these horses are sick, weak, hurt, under veterinary care. And then he's in the section of adoptable horses. So I wanted you guys to see the round pen that they have, because the prison inmates, this Sheriff Joe Arpaio does not mess around. And the prison inmates wear black and white stripes, like the Hamburglar from McDonald's. Okay? That's how they dress.
I haven't thought about the Hamburglar from McDonald's in about 20 years.
I know, right? Seriously, they dress like the Hamburglar, except for the fact that I don't think the Hamburglar wears pink underwear. All the inmates, their socks, their underwear, wherever you are, it's pink. Everybody wears pink. Like, it's so weird to watch these guys, and they're the ones that do stalls and do the feeding and stuff. They walk around with these black and white stripes on, and like they'll be dabbing their heads with a towel. All the towels are pink. And if you look at the round pin in this video, the round pin is painted pink. Everything is pink. They try to emasculate everybody there. So it's definitely an interesting facility, to say the least. But I wanted to get the listeners' opinions on this horse. I haven't taken the teenager to go see him. I think we're going to try to go this weekend sometime. So let me know what you guys think.
You must be a hit when you visit prison. And I'm saying that in a good way.
Just because you say that, but I kind of think you could be going a couple different directions with that. And let me tell you, I am not, the inmates are not allowed to look at me, talk to me, address me. I am not allowed to look at them, talk to them. I dress in baggy clothes. I mean, nothing that would look at all. I mean,
okay.
I go there.
I was wondering about
behaving.
That.
Yeah, oh yeah. If I could wear a tent, I would have worn a muumuu out there. Okay. Nothing sexy. Sweatpants and a muumuu. Walmart attire is all I wear to the prison. But the officers, you know, they're a big fan of me because a lot of times they lose track of the horses that they have there. You know, they adopt them out and they don't really hear anything again. Well, I've had such good success stories with mine that they love to hear from me and to get pictures. And when they heard I was coming to look at horses again, there were like six officers that were there, like lined up, male and female, ready to show me horses. And it was like, you know, when you go to a barn with like really expensive, fancy horses, and somebody is buying, and they show, oh, Miss Jennings, come this way. Look at this one. Look at this one. Look at this one here. Would you like to ride that one? It's kind of like that, but completely the opposite.
It's good to, to know that you're popular in prison. Isn't that good to know?
Yeah. I got to be popular somewhere, but where they at fancy hunter jumper barns would bring the horse out tacked up and ready. This one's like, well, this one was left in a backyard, starving to death. I wouldn't ride that one because what we heard is that the second somebody gets on him, it throws itself on the ground and flips over. So don't ride that one. This one here has got three legs, and I don't think you want a three-legged horse. So it's kind of like you go around and try to kind of fit through. Now, I do recommend, you know, adopting. There were miniature horses there. And foals, there were weanlings that were there. And it breaks your heart. And so I was asking the officers, I said, you know, the one arresting officer, I'm trying not to mention anybody's names because they don't really want me to. I asked her, I said, you know, when you go to these places, because she let me look through all her files and these photographs will kill you. And I just said, you know, is there some common thing where to us, starving an animal is not an option. You know, it's just not something. We would starve ourselves before our horses or dogs or cat, any animals would go hungry. And I said, what is the common denominator with all of these people? What is the one thing that you see every single time? There's got to be something that links this kind of mental problem together. She was like, you would never know anybody. She's like, I could not link one to another to save my life. They're all different types of people from all different walks of life. You would never be able to point out somebody on the street and go, that's one of them. She's like, you have no idea.
Huh. Interesting. Because you're right. Yeah. I would have thought the same thing you did, that there would be some kind of link there. There'd be something that tied them all together.
You might meet them on the street and be like, totally nice, normal person. And then you go home and they're a hoarder. So just really, really sad situations. But they've all... These are the ones that have made it, and they're like a lot of them were still involved in cases. So some of them are not adoptable. There was not that many adoptable ones. They're still most of them again are still involved in plea deals and bargains, and I don't even know what all the words they were using were. But anyway, so I posted the one that would fit my student. So you guys, let me know what you think.
All right, very good, Jennifer. What's coming up? I know we have a lot of guests today.
On today's Weird Wednesday edition, Medal McClay winner Jacob Pope stops by for a chat about his recent conquest at the Alltech National Horse Show. And next, we wade across the cyber pond with the velvet voice of Victoria Spicer with the latest from Horse and Country TV. And to round out our Wednesday, the Horse.com Horse Health Report takes on influenza. And for all of our listeners out there who have a barn refrigerator, it's National Clean Your Fridge Day. So get out the super suds, and don't forget to unplug it first.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. And I think you told me, too, that we have to take Jacob right away when he gets on because he's between classes and he's sneaking in this phone call, right?
Yeah, he's sneaking in. He is risking detention to do this.
No kidding.
Dedicated horse guy. Well, that's terrific. Well, we'll get him on as soon as he comes on. Just let us know.
All righty.
Well, my Daily Whinny goes out, and it's basically a huge congratulations to Courtney King Dye. Of course, everybody who listens to this show knows Courtney King Dye. She's a friend of the Horse Radio Network. She was injured in an accident a couple years ago. Now she's a Grand Prix dressage rider and has had a heck of a recovery. She received the 2012 FEI Against All Odds Award in Istanbul last week at their annual meeting. And, you know, Courtney was the reason that the Riders for Helmets campaign was founded back in 2010. And she's also the reason that many of the helmet laws in this country and now around the world have been changing. So I'm thrilled that they acknowledged her and her efforts and all the work that she's put in to get back on the horse and back to riding. She's now riding in the para side of things, and also I hear going to be trying to do some traditional dressage as well. So congratulations to her. We will hear from Courtney Friday morning. I'm going to be recording a little interview with her tomorrow that we can play on Friday morning here at Horses in the Morning, so you can look forward to hearing from her then.
My first day, I have two, Glenn. My first one is going to sound like this. It goes out to my BFF, maid of honor in my wedding, and somebody that you know, Glenn, Nancy. It is her birthday. I'm not going to tell you how old she is. She'd kill me. But she's older than me. Ha ha. It is her birthday. So happy birthday, Nancy.
Happy birthday,
and
Nancy.
And my next. Yeah. So my next Daily Whinny is... I'm posting it online. People... Channing Tatum gets my next one. Did you guys see Magic Mike?
No.
You didn't see Magic Mike, the stripper movie? Why not?
No, we did not see Magic Mike, the stripper movie.
Jennifer, did you and you not tell Glenn? Oh, man!
Can't you keep your mouth shut about anything?
You know what? I hadn't seen it, okay? And I stayed, I went to Galway Downs and shared a horse trailer with my friend Stephanie. And she purchased the movie for us to watch in the trailer because she has a, she, hers is fancy and she has like a VCR, a DVD player and all that stuff. So I watched Magic Mike for the first time and it was not bad. Well, I mean, the story was not that bad. Everybody said the story was terrible. The men, freaking amazing. Okay, girls out there, if you've not seen it yet, y'all probably all have seen it 100 times already. But let me just tell you something. It was good. It was really, really good. So my point is, People Magazine just named Channing Tatum sexiest man alive. So I posted the cover on our Facebook page. You're welcome, ladies. You're welcome.
Wasn't he in, like, some G.I. Joe with a G.I. Joe movie or something? He hasn't done a whole lot that's made any money, has he?
I don't know. I don't care. I think he did a bunch of dance movies. But I don't care
what
he's done. He was in Magic Mike.
Did you get to see all of him in Magic Mike?
You know, no, they look at me stuttering. God,
that's funny.
You did not see all of him, however, because in the movie and in strip clubs like that, they have to wear the little thing. But you can pretty much see almost everything, and you saw almost everything of several of them, including Matthew McConaughey. Aw, yeah. Good God, he worked out for that movie. Let me just tell you, the man was doing some push-ups. And some butt-ups.
That's very funny.
Oh.
Magic Mike.
Yeah.
Highly recommended by Jamie and the other female writers at Galway Downs.
They were charging a cover fee to sleep in that trailer.
Come into the trailer.
Oh, definitely.
Watch Magic Mike. $5.
We became the most popular girls at Galway. How many people can we fit into a 8-foot trailer?
That's funny. Hey, we got really bad ads this Friday, and we have a prize. And the prize is one of the Bling Bands. Remember, that was our pick of the week last week for our early holiday choices. Bling Bands basically are those fancy bands that go across the front of your helmet. They have different styles and sizes and stuff that you can choose from. And the nice people over at Bling Bands are going to give you the choice. So you'll have your choice of Bling Bands for your helmet. And they have the gold curved chains and the silver chains and the rhinestones and everything. But they basically just spruce up your helmet and make it fancier. And that is going to be available for the winner on Friday. You can find out more and see these things at blingbandsforhelmets.com, blingbandsforhelmets.com. And those, it's like a $50 value. These things, these things have some value to them. So if you want to win that, get your really bad ads, check out Craigslist. Take you about 5 minutes to find some really, really, really bad, really bad ads. And send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line. That's Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. What else did we have to cover?
I'm sorry. I was staring at Facebook and people sexiest man alive. Sorry. Let me get back into the show. I don't even know what you just said.
Bling bands Friday, things like that.
Oh,
you
got something for you. I got something.
What's that?
Am I what? Am I getting what?
No, go ahead. I was just going to kill time. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I was just going to let you know that, remember we talked about stud fees for Three Chimneys Farm on Monday? Well, the stud fees for Jonabel Farm have been released. And Jonabel Farm, actually, this is Jonabel and Darley, okay? The Darley operation of Jonabel Farm is near Lexington. So this all goes back to Sheikh Mohammed's stallions. And just to name a few of them, they've got Quiet American for $15,000. This is, I think it's a live foal guarantee. And they've got Elusive Quality, oh my gosh, $50,000. Then they've got Harge Fun, $60,000. Good Lord, Street Cry, which has had a lot of runners this year, $100,000 to breed the Street Cry.
Oh, my
gosh. And then
gosh.
There's Medaglia d'Oro, okay, another $100,000. And drum roll, please. You know, Zenyatta's baby daddy, Bernardini, $150,000 to bring to Bernardini.
Well, at least I've heard of Bernardini. I've never heard of Medaglia d'Oro.
Medaglia d'Oro. That's okay because you don't follow bloodlines as much as I do. And obviously, at $100,000, he's got to be something special. But Lithia, $150,000. Let's see, 150 times. How many horses are they breeding a year, Jennifer? Do you know? Probably at least. Let's say 100, and I was probably closer to 120, but we're going to go with 100. That means that Bernardini is making in stud fees by the end of the year, with just 100 mares, $15 million. $15 million.
Not bad. That's not bad. Not a bad gig. It's not a bad gig for the horse either, if you think 120 mares a year. Jamie, we have a call here. Let's take a – we have a listener calling in. Robin Donahue is giving us a call. Let me bring her up. Hey, Robin, how are you?
Pretty good. And you guys?
Good. So what's going on?
Hey, Robin.
Hi. I just thought I'd call in with an update on the surprise mini foal, or shall I say not so mini foal.
Yes, you this happened. How long ago was this now? You had called us and said you'd bought a mini and then the baby popped out and you were shocked.
Yeah. I'm still shocked because he is 6 months old and he is taller than his mother.
So
oh,
he's not
my
as
God.
Mini as Minnie?
No. He looks like a mini halflinger.
Okay, hold on. Let's cover this story a little bit. Back up a little bit because you actually you bought a mini horse, right? Not knowing it was in foal, and then it just popped out one, right?
Yeah, she started dropping weight, and I thought that maybe she was having a false pregnancy or she was sick. And the vet came out and he was like, "No, she's going to have a foal within the next week," and then she actually had him the next day.
Oh, my God. That's a waste of a vet trip right there.
Yeah.
Hey, you're going to have a good baby. If you would have waited one more day, you'd have saved yourself a couple $100. So the
no kidding.
Mini foal clearly was not bred to a mini horse. It was but maybe baby daddy of what do you think it is?
I mean, the only thing I see when I look at him is a halflinger. But people are like, there's no way.
Jeez,
he's a type
poor man.
Yeah, at least he's a type B mini, so she's like 35 and a half inches tall. At least that's what's on her papers.
Bless
her
heart.
Not super tiny, but her colt has his cannon bones are bigger around than hers, he's taller than she is. Not
you know
much,
what, Robin.
But,
Robin, there are so many jokes here and so many things I want to say that I can't say. I just have to let them all go. I just can't do it. But thank you for setting me up, Robin.
Post it on our Facebook page. We want to see pictures.
Well, I haven't posted any pictures lately because the mom has been sick, and so she's not looking the best. I'll try and get a picture of him by himself because he looks wonderful.
That's sad. All right, you can do that. We see what you can do, and we wish you the best with your mom, too, or with the mom.
Thanks.
Yeah, all right, very good. Thank you, Robin. There's an update on the surprise mini, and now we have our guest on the line. We have to get to him right away because we don't want him to get kicked out of school or end up in detention. And that is the winner of the Metal McClay at the Altac National Horse Show in Lexington, Kentucky. He has had quite a year. His name is Jacob Pope. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you so much for risking detention to talk to us today. We really appreciate it, and we hope you're hiding in a good spot.
Yeah. I just got out of class. I'm in a free period right now.
Oh, good. Okay, good. I feel better now then. So, Jacob, yeah. You had quite a year. You have done a lot of things that that teenagers that are into horses only dream of. You know, was the Metal McClay really the highlight of it all?
You know, I think both the USET and the McClay were was a dream come true, like you just said. But I think the McClay is, you know, that's exactly right. The McClay Finals was sort of what I've always wanted, and it was just so great to actually win it. I hadn't even, you know, that was my dream. So to have that really happen was fantastic.
Well, let's just review here. You won, you went in 2011, you won the USHJA Emerging Athlete Program Final, and then you rode in the George Morris Horsemanship Clinic in Wellington, and then you won the USEF Show Jumping Talent Search Final in New Jersey. I mean, and then you go into the Metal McClay, where there are, almost 200 riders, aren't there?
You know, it was 150. Yeah, close to 200.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's at the All-Tech National Horse Show, which isn't that big arena at the Kentucky Horse Park. It's kind of intimidating, but then you have as judges Hap Hansen and George Morris. I mean,
yeah.
No intimidation there.
Yeah, they, you know, being judged by them was an honor, and to actually come out on top and, you know, having them think that I deserve to win was just unbelievable. Just from such legends such as Hap Hansen and George Morris to think that I was the winner was just incredible.
Well, tell us about the horse that you won with, Uno.
So Uno is honestly just the best. He's a great horse. He's 11 years old. I believe he started out doing the jumpers, as many equitation horses do. And then, I don't know, maybe a few years ago, transitioned into being an equitation horse. And he's definitely one of the best horses, if not the best, that I've ever gotten to ride. He's got the best, most comfortable canter. He's got a great big stride, really adjustable. And what I really like about him is, even though he's a top show horse, he's just a nice guy. He's sweet and has a great personality, and he's just nice to be around and nice to ride.
Well, I wanted to ask you just about him, too. What do you think to win this whole thing set you and Uno apart from everybody else?
I think it's just the fact that, you know, Uno is not the easiest to ride, maybe. And, I mean, he's a great horse, but he has a couple little, you know, he's a little tough to just hop on. So I think having ridden him for the past few months and getting, you know, more acquainted to him and used to all the things that he does, and he's just got a presence to him when you walk in the ring. He's a beautiful sort of, he's not like a typical hunter mover, but he's got a great, you know, striking canter. And what I was saying about how he's a little tough to ride sometimes, and that really worked in my favor, I think, for the test, because just switching onto Uno is, you know, maybe not the easiest thing as opposed to switching onto some other equitation horse. So, you know, Lily, who was reserve champion at McClay Finals, was hoping to switch on to Uno because she had won the Washington on him 2 years ago. So she was used to him and everything. But the other two riders not really having ridden Uno before, I think it was tough for Catherine to ride him, whereas, you know, switching on to one of the other three was not too tough for me to do.
Yeah, I want to just clarify for everybody that is not aware of how it works. You go through many different rounds in the day, and you know the rounds are judged. You have fence classes, you have flat classes, and actually you are not leading going into the final four. And what happens is the final four is the four the four of the best riders of the day go into the final four, and you switch horses and have to do a jumping around again on somebody else's horse. And you were not leading going into that, were you?
Right. I wasn't leading at all day. Like I went in the first 50 horses, and after that, Lily was on top, and I was in second. And later, Elizabeth Benson topped the class, so topped the first round. So Lily got moved back to second, and I was moved back to third. So after the first round, I was third. Then I was pushed back to sixth after the flat. Went back in for the second round and moved back up to third. And then went into the test and ended up winning the whole thing, which was just phenomenal.
Well, and I think that is kind of neat because, you know, with the younger riders, it really does show that you can ride because you are switching horses and you're not just relying on having a terrific horse at the end. You have to know how to ride. I mean, you have to know how to ride anything you get put on. And, you know, and that really does, you know, bring the winners to the top like it did with you.
I mean, I was so happy that we ended up testing because if we hadn't, I mean, I probably would have stayed in third. With the other two having been in front of me all day, they probably would have had another gorgeous round on their horse. But switching,
right.
I think, really, they all of the kids in that group ride amazingly. And just, they are fantastic riders. They are the top junior riders in the country. But having to switch horses, I think, is just such a shock to some people. And it's just, they're not accustomed to the horse. And me, personally, not having ever owned a top show horse, it was pretty easy to just hop on another horse and have a decent round.
Well, now, where are you from, Jacob?
I'm from Columbia, Maryland. So outside of Baltimore in Washington, D.C.,
and you're a junior or senior right now in school?
I'm a senior, yeah.
Senior.
So.
Okay, so this. And are you going to go pro? Is that the idea?
Yeah, eventually. That's the plan. But Andre advised me to stay amateur for a little while until a good job opportunity comes up. You know, he said, stay amateur until there's a job that opens up that I really want, and then you can turn to pro, which is what he did and what he's advised many others to do.
And are you going
well,
to college?
Well, Metal McClay is on your resume now, so you're in pretty good shape for jobs.
I mean, I hope so. You know, that's sort of what, I don't know, that's sort of why I'm so glad that I ended up winning, just because, you know, I mean, it's great to win, but at the same time, I really, really want to do this as my career. And having this sort of, you know, push me to the next level or, you know, get my name out there or something, you know, I think it'll make my life, my career a lot easier.
Well, we want to make sure that you have a career and graduate high school, so we will not hold you up any longer. No suspension for you today because of us. Congratulations again. Terrific job, and we're looking forward to reporting on you in our news segment in the years going down the line here. And will you join us again sometime when you're not at school?
Well, great. Yeah, absolutely. It was great being on the show, and you guys were awesome.
Thank you, Jacob.
Congrats.
Have a good day.
Okay. You know, there are some very, very famous Metal McClay winners that, you know, we don't have time to go through all the names here, but some very famous ones, and I think Jacob has a bright future ahead of him. One of the most articulate teams that we've ever had on the show.
By far.
Yes.
I tell you never to get kids on the show because you go, how's it going? I'm fine.
Yeah.
What?
One word answer. No,
that was
terrific.
Awesome.
Wow, he can
awesome.
Come back anytime. Very good. Well, we have another articulate person on the show, too, and I'm going to play a little bit of the theme here. This is her favorite because it's her country's song. Take it away, Jamie.
Yeah, enough. All right, we've got Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV. Good morning, Victoria, or good afternoon to you.
Good morning and good afternoon.
All right, turn it off, Glenn.
Okay.
So how's everything going? We missed you last week. I think I wasn't here last Wednesday. So what? Catch me up. What's been going on over there in jolly old England?
We've had some exciting stories going on, and I'm in the middle of moving house, so my life's a bit of a blur. But we're getting into winter season, and it's a beautiful autumn day today here in London.
Well, it's about time y'all had some nice weather with an unbelievable rainy summer that y'all had, and I think that the rain that y'all had over the summer has waterlogged people's brains, because people are getting crazy about, remember, Glenn, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the Gangnam Style, the South Korean gentleman who made the music video. Yeah, exactly. Talk to us about what's going on over there.
Well, Gangnam Style has kind of gone a bit viral, as you know. I think it's had something ridiculous like 700 million YouTube views. And so everybody has decided to get in on the act. And all these parody accounts are starting to appear. Now, we've got a big charity event in Britain called Children in Need, which is this Friday. And we've got Tina Cook, Nicola Wilson, and none other than Zara Phillips, eventing royalty, of course, who are doing the Gangnam Style dance while in full Olympic riding kit. So that's going to be an interesting one. And not only that, our national hunt jockeys decided they were going to make a version, which is very, very funny. And they've had 500,000 views already. So a little bit to go to catch up with 700 million. But it's hilarious, and I can't stop watching it. And I think the best lyric is when there's five jockeys all surrounding a completely bemused-looking horse while they sing in broad Irish accents, "Hey, sexy horsey."
And not only that, Jamie, you get to see the jockeys in the locker room without their shirts on.
I know, yes, yeah. Typical day in the life of a jockey, running around, changing rooms, weighing themselves and trying to force feed champion jockey Tony McCoy or a cardboard cutout off him with a hamburger, which I think is a bit cheeky of them.
Well, you can watch all of these on horseandcountry.tv, right? We don't go on YouTube. We go to your website.
Indeed, yes. You can watch the jockeys version on our website. And as for Zara Phillips, eventing royalty, doing the dance, you'll have to wait till Friday night when it airs on our main channel here, the BBC.
Ah, she's holding back. I like it.
Yeah. I wouldn't if we could, but you will have to wait till Friday, I'm afraid.
Gotcha. Now, there is a lady jockey who has made history, speaking of jockeys over there. And tell us about the champion apprentice jockey.
Well, we have, I don't know if it's the same in America, but in Britain, you have flat racing and jump racing, and you have kind of your young jockeys are given a weight allowance. And if they ride over fences, they're called conditional jockeys. And the more wins they have, the more the weight allowance is reduced. And on the flat, it's called apprentice jockey. And basically, this girl, Amy Ryan, has been up there throughout the season. And then her closest rival ended up being injured. And she's become the first British female to win the champion apprentice title ever in history. So it's brilliant to see. We've obviously got Hayley Turner, who's a very successful female jockey, and it's great to see other young girls following in her footsteps, and hopefully she'll be another one to watch in the coming years.
You know, girl power. Whoop, whoop. I love it.
Exactly.
I love it when the girls... Yeah, when the girls beat the boys, and she's cute too, Glenn. So maybe since Chantel Sutherland retired, you can start following Amy Ryan.
Oh, that'd be a new one. I've just looked up her picture. She has the bluest eyes.
She does, yeah. Indeed. And Leona Mayer is also another very, very pretty female jockey. So they're quite glamorous, these female jockeys. Haley's very glamorous too.
Well, and they're also very thin, and you know. Thin and beautiful. It's just a double whammy.
Every female jockey I've spoken to, and I did a feature on several of them quite recently, and most of them like find it quite easy to keep their weight down. So I think they actually have that advantage over the men, that the men are all wasting and in the sauna and on a really strict diet, and the girls just eat quite normally, and the obvious are very healthy, where I don't think they have to go to the same extremes as the male jockeys do. I could be wrong, but I think that's a definite advantage to being a small, petite female who's riding out every day, and you manage to keep your weight down quite naturally.
Oh, that's absolutely got to be an advantage. You know, they should do a study on that and see about that, because for women, yeah, they're just naturally lighter. So that's got to work in their favor. Let's see what else is going on Horse and Country TV. We'll get to Frankel, because there's an awesome story about Frankel going on right now. But tell us about Boccolo?
Boccolo is one of our big European events over here, and yeah, equally hard to spell as it is to pronounce. And one of our bloggers, Gemma Tassel, who's top 10 adventurer over here in Britain, she had a head cam on, and so you can see this cross country round of her going around Boccolo and talking to her horse and giving him encouragement, and it's really quite exciting to watch. So go and check it out.
Yeah, definitely. And again, that's Horse and Country TV. All right. The story I've been waiting for. Tell me about Frankel.
Well, we have a documentary that is being produced by Racing Post Television, and it's now available to watch free on our website. So do go and check it out at horseandcountry.tv/video. And yeah, you get to see the wonder horse Frankel and some of his best wins and speak to the people who have known him throughout his career, and you get to see his mum, which I thought was quite exciting. She's very beautiful. She's called Kind, and she's a bit of a stunner. So definitely go and watch it if you're a fan of Frankel.
And just to let you guys know, Frankel just won Cartier Horse of the Year again, and I guess not many. It's an unprecedented second consecutive victory for Frankel winning the Cartier Racing Awards.
Yes, he's amazing, isn't he? Like, we're so lucky to witness a horse like that. And not only him, we've got Black Caviar at the same time. And it's been a kind of golden few years for flat racing. And I'm just delighted that I was around to witness it.
Well, I got to say, too,
Jamie,
I was just going to say that you guys, when you do your end of the year, you know, what really happened here in the U.K., for 2012, it's going to take you 16 hours to put all the amazing things together about what happened with you guys this year.
I know, it's been phenomenal. It's just the Olympics wasn't good enough, but just such a great year for racing, and not to mention kind of the retirement of Cotto Star, who is the jump racing's version of Frankel. He obviously doesn't kind of have the same, you know, 2 years of or three seasons of at the absolute peak of his career. Cotto Star has been around for years and years and years, and he's one of the most popular horses. So between him and Frankel and Black Caviar racing over here in Ascot this summer, it's been a bit of a good summer for racing. And then Olympics were incredible.
It's been a good year for the UK.
Yeah, no kidding.
Indeed.
Well, listen, we know that you are on your cell phone and you are paying for this phone call, so we're going to let you go. It'd be very sweet of you to call in, and hope you have an awesome, awesome day, Victoria. I love keeping up with you on Facebook. Keep us entertained. It's been fun.
I will try. Lovely to talk to you both.
All right, so talk to you next week. That's Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV, and I'm looking on Facebook here, Glenn, and I should not be shocked, but every single person that has seen the video says I need to go and get this horse from jail. Shocker.
Yeah, that was a big surprise there.
Yeah.
Big surprise.
And, but I do like Don Deems is absolutely right. Oh, my gosh. He totally looks like a little Shackleford. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't watch the video yet. I have to watch the video. And he does
the chestnut, the big blaze. He's so cute.
He has the white socks in the back. That always helps.
Yeah. Got some chrome. Love it.
Oh, cool. Well, let's take a break for our song today. This song is brought to you by Equestrian Collections. You know, it is that time. Next week is Thanksgiving, which means it's holiday shopping time. You can check out all of the terrific gift ideas that they have over at Equestrian Collections. Here on Horses in the Morning, we're going to play every year, this will be the fourth year, we do a special holiday gift buying episode with Equestrian Collections, and we're going to play it for you next week on this show as well as the Stable Scoop show. And you're going to find lots of terrific ideas at Equestrian Collections for holiday. I know I've shopped there in the past for Christmas time. So go over to equestriancollections.com. You're going to see it all over their homepage. Of course, Black Friday is next week, and you're going to be able to find huge savings at Equestrian Collections. Just make it your first stop for holiday shopping, or don't forget about a gift certificate, too. You can find all the gift certificate options you want over there. If you want to just give a gift certificate, guys, that is always a good option for your ladies. And it also solves us from buying the wrong thing and the wrong size. You know, I was thinking about it the other day because I thought there was something Jennifer, close your ears. There was something I wanted to get Jennifer that was soft. Okay, Jamie, so give me some advice on this. It was a size thing. It was a piece of clothing, okay? So if you get a girl something that is too small, it's insulting because they think, well, I'm too fat, and you bought it because you thought I was smaller, so right there it's insulting. If I buy something that's too big, then that's also insulting. The only way a guy gets that right is if they get it exactly right.
You know, I will tell you, I would rather somebody buy, this is going to sound stupid, maybe this is just me, I would rather you buy something small. Like, oh, he thinks I'm an extra small, but I'm only a medium, I'm already medium, or whatever, you know. Or like, if you buy a woman something extra large, and you give it to her and she's a medium, you're dead. Dead.
Right.
Like, what do you think of me? So, you know, I would give you two pieces of advice. Glenn, don't buy clothes. Just don't.
That's the first piece.
That's your first piece of advice. If you must buy clothes, opt for the smaller size.
Okay. So if you're going to get it wrong on the smaller size.
Yes. That's what I would go with.
All right.
That's my male advice for men
for the day.
For the day. But just don't
all right, very good. EquestrianCollections.com for all of your holiday shopping needs, whether it's for you, your kids, your husband, or your horse, doesn't matter. Or get a gift card. Either one.
Yeah.
All right, very good. We're going to play a little Templeton Thompson today called The Long Run, and then we're going to be back with TheHorse.com and Michelle Anderson talking about the flu. We'll be right back. Wow, that was Templeton Thompson. In the long run, you can find all of Templeton's music. Also, make a great holiday gift at templetonthompson.com. And her new CD there is available right on her website as well. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and also Coach Jen. And I got to tell you guys, Jamie, imagine this. I heard this story yesterday, and I was like, oh, my God. We have talked a little bit about snakes this year because we had some rattlesnakes here, and you've come across some rattlesnakes, and it just seems like when you're a horse person, you end up talking about snakes quite a bit. Imagine you're a 16-year-old teenager visiting your uncle's home just outside of San Diego, California, and you can't get cell phone reception. What do? Because you're twitching and you're going through withdrawal. You take a walk outside, and there's a hill behind the house, and you say, I'm going to walk up the hill, and I'm going to see if I can get better cell phone reception, because I can't be without my cell phone for 2 minutes. So that's exactly what Vera Oliphant does. Vera takes a walk up the hill, and she heard some rattling, and she up a, what she thought was ahead of her, and she ran backward and accidentally stepped into a pit of snakes, rattlesnakes. Ah! Yeah, not just one rattlesnake, six rattlesnakes. And she was bitten six times. She said her body started to go numb, and she managed to get herself back to her uncle's house. She was rushed to the emergency room and spent the next 4 days in the intensive care unit. She actually had went into anaphylactic shock twice and lost consciousness four times. She basically thought she was going to die, but they managed to get enough anti-venom in her, I guess, to keep her alive. But what a story. I mean, I didn't know that they actually, other than in, you know, movies, I didn't know they actually had pits of snakes, you know. I thought that was only in the movies, but apparently not.
That gives whole new meaning to that commercial. Can you hear me now? Good.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Oh my God!
20. Get this, Jamie. She was given 24 doses of anti-venom. 24.
Oh my God! Do you know how expensive that is?
This little girl is happy to be alive. Oh, talk about a nightmare! Talk about something you see in a horror movie. Ugh. And you know what I love?
Oh.
Okay, here's a girl that fell into a pit of snakes and was bit six times. And here is the doctor that they interviewed the doctor. And he said, if you're bit by a snake, the first thing to do is realize that you have more time than you think you do and don't panic. I'm sorry. I have six rattlesnakes chewing on me. I'm panicking. That's the first thing I'm doing.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Yeah, panic. Run, scream, freak out. Grab snakes, throw them around. I don't know what I would do if I fell into a pit of rattlesnakes. So I'm assuming somebody was close by. I mean, could you just imagine, like, I'm having a nightmare right now, staring at the phone going, okay, I'm one bar, zero bars, come on, one bar. And you're just, like, walking around staring at your phone and you fall into a hole.
Yep.
Just a hole is bad enough. Okay. You've ruined my day right now. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
I thought you'd like that story.
Oh, jeez. Hey, I got another bizarre story
for you.
Oh,
can I give you another bizarre story?
Keep it coming, then. Why not?
This is bizarre. The Interior Secretary, Ken Salazar, who is the guy that's in charge of the Bureau of Land Management, the BLM, who, you know, we've had lots of discussions about in relation to the Mustang issue here in this country, got in trouble the other day. This is a guy that's in charge of the Department of the Interior, which is, you know, all the national parks, all that stuff. He is actually sits in the in the meetings with the president. So he was at a Get Out the Vote rally in Colorado, I believe it was. And a local reporter there was asking him questions about, you know, about the president and everything, about getting out to vote. And then the local reporter asked him a question about the 17 horses that were sold to this guy by the name of Tom Davis out there in Colorado. It's an ongoing story. They think he turned around and sold them for slaughter, and he's under investigation. There's a criminal investigation going on and everything. Well, this guy asked this secretary, Ken Salazar, he just asked him about the BLM situation and, you know, what was going on. And the guy basically blew off his question and said, I don't really follow that that much. I know there's an investigation being done, you know, and he was obviously irritated. Well, after the interview, he walked over to the reporter and was caught on tape saying, don't you ever, you know that what, you don't ever do that again or I'll punch you out. This is the interior of the Secretary of the Department of Interior telling the reporter he's going to punch him out if he ever asks him about the BLM again.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Now, I'm glad he asked, because what I heard was not 17 horses. 1,700.
Right, 1,700 horses. Yep.
Who adopts 1,700 horses besides, like, the lady angels that we've had on the show? Okay? No, nobody. So there's something going on, but to threaten to punch him out, there is such a cover-up going on right now. And there's something, we gotta break this case, Glenn.
I know. You know, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the air, but the BLM actually contacted us about a year ago wanting to advertise on our show on Horses in the Morning, and I told them no. And I got the nastiest email back from them, bawling me out. So, you know, we've had a little, for full disclosure, we've had a little bit of a history with the BLM, too. But, yeah.
Your wife is typing right now at your face going, shut up, Glenn. I can just hear it.
I know, but we'll see what kind of trouble he gets in for threatening to punch out a reporter.
Yeah, you know, I know that Madeline Pickens has had some really good luck with them, and you know, maybe just money talks. So obviously getting 1,700 horses. I'm going to shut up now because I'm going to get sued too. yeah. Hey, I got another story for you. How important is it, Glenn, to wear your helmet?
It's very important.
It's incredibly important. And if you are an Olympian, you are an Olympic gold medal winning show jumper, don't you think that you know by now to go ahead and wear your helmet all the time?
Well, yeah, you would think so.
Well, apparently Ben Mayer is recovering after being kicked in the head yesterday. Kicked in the head. He was leading. Oh, he wasn't even riding. This is awful. He was leading a horse in his yard in Essex, his farm in Essex, when it slipped and fell on top of him. And it kicked his head. And they didn't have to put in stitches. They actually glued his head back together. The horse flipped over on top of him, squished his leg, was scrambling to get back up, and that's when he got hit on the head. So just a reminder to wear your helmets. He said it was a freak accident, but he will be back to compete at Stuttgart this weekend. So,
you know, this exact same thing happened to Jennifer. We were just talking about it. We were telling friends about it yesterday. The horse fell down. She ended up between the legs. It kicked her head. She ended up with 16 staples in her head and broken ribs. Kicked her in the ribs, too. But, you know, this kind of thing, boy, if the horse slips and you're on the leg side, you're in trouble. I mean, if it takes your legs out from underneath you, you're in trouble. And it's exactly what happened to Jennifer. Jennifer said she stopped counting at 12, the number of times the horse kicked her head. She lost count at 12. She was laying there in a fetal position trying to protect herself. So, yeah, this can happen. And here, you wouldn't be wearing your helmet either, probably.
Yeah, no, the way that it's starting to be written was that he was kicked in the head because the horse slipped and fell. But I didn't realize he was leading it. So, yeah, what, are you going to wear your helmet all the time? I guess not. So my apologies, Ben Mayer, for thinking that you did not wear
your helmet. This is the way it works when you're a horse. Not only does the horse spend his entire life trying to figure out how to kill himself, he spends at least part of that time also trying to figure out how he can take us out.
Kill you.
Like
it's just
cat.
The nature of the beast.
I got
when
another
I told
bizarre
you guys,
story.
Like, oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No,
I was just going to say, I swear that there's a lot of animals that spend a lot of time thinking on how to kill us. I'm pretty sure that cats, if they were bigger, we'd be dead. All of us. They'd wipe off the human race.
That is true.
Do you know how many times I have woken up Yeah, but I have a nice cat. But I will wake up in the middle of the night, and that sucker is 3 inches from my nose, staring into my eyes. How many times that happens, I'm like, woo, that's creepy. Creepy kitty. And you just know he's like, I would kill you. I would kill you if I could, but I can't. We went to the zoo. We were looking at the tigers and stuff. We're like, man, thank God house cats aren't that big, because we'd all be dead.
You know, I have one more quick story while we're waiting for Michelle from thehorse.com. This is also bizarre. It was bizarre news story day. A New Zealander is charged with planning a horse manure assault of Prince Charles during a royal visit. Prince Charles is over there in New Zealand with Camilla doing the royal thing, you know, for the whole anniversary thing for the 60th year, doing 6 days. And apparently they caught this guy that was lurking. He was 76 years old. His name is Kastilov Bakanov. And 76 years old, and apparently they caught him outside a public place carrying a bucket. And when the police went over and investigate, the bucket was full of horse manure. He was planning on throwing it onto the royals. And they say he is a what was the word they used in this article? He was like an anti-royal. And I didn't even know those existed, people who are just so, you know, so hate the royals so much that they want to throw horse poop on them. But apparently, so.
Why would you hate the royals? What? They don't have any power.
I know. They don't do anything but walk around and shake hands. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I think it's kind of fun because it's like having celebrities, you know? They're like born celebrities. You're just born famous. That's what everyone
wants
to do. But, you know, I know that there are people that don't really particularly care for them. I think they're awesome because they provide us with a lot of entertainment. And I can't imagine. Prince Charles is old. It's not like he's 25 years old and you're throwing a bucket of horse poop on some young guy. Like, he might slip and fall on the horse poop.
Yeah, so they caught him. And then what I thought was really great is now they're on tour there for a total of 6 days. They let him out. The court let him out and said, don't go near him. You have to stay away from him. Here's a guy that's obviously a little bonkers, and they didn't keep him in jail for the whole time that the royals were there. They let him out and said, oh, we'd stay away. So I'm sure that's going to work.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's
they
get
must
on.
Have funny.
Let's switch to Jennifer. Are we good with Dr. Jones? Oh, okay. Dr. Jones is. Well, let's chat with Michelle for a minute here.
Good morning,
Michelle.
Good morning. So, yeah, I proofed that the story that we ran yesterday, our blog post on the King Charles and Camilla and the horse poop, and my thought was at least it wasn't cow poop.
Or cat poop.
That's better. Or cat poop. Yeah, that's even worse. Or dog poop.
Horse poop I am pretty tolerant of because I handle so much of it all the time. It doesn't bother me as much. But if he really wanted to do some damage, I think a cow pie would have been the right choice.
Yeah, who ever heard of an anti-royalist anyway? I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Oh, yeah. I have friends who are British and friends who are Canadian. There's lots of people who don't like them so much.
Interesting. Well, what's new with you while we're waiting on Dr. Jones?
Well, we still have our new thehorse.com. We're working on any bugs that we come across on that, but there haven't been too many. We've been pretty happy with that. Very happy, actually. And what else are we doing? We have a Ask the Vet Live tomorrow on winter horse care. So everyone can tune in live for that at 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have some great information on care and feeding and exercise of your horse during the winter and stabling. And then we're getting ready for the AAEP convention that's coming up very, very soon. The American Association of Equine Practitioners are all coming together in Anaheim, California, the first week of December. And so we have lots of coverage. We're doing lots of stuff there.
Now, Michelle, let's be honest here, because you're not a vet. The AAEP convention is a place where veterinarians from all over the country, they come together and they have to get their CEs, which is their continuing education. Mm-hmm. Now, let's be honest here. You have been to these, right?
No. Mm-mm. This is my first one.
Oh, okay, well, then probably you've talked to people. How much of it is a learning experience? I'm sure all day. But then what are the parties like at night?
Yeah, so I've heard that there is quite a bit of fun to be had in the evenings. I'm hearing a rumor that someone's having a party at Disneyland on this one, and I'm trying to find an invitation to that because I've never been to Disneyland.
Oh, there you go.
But, no, I think looking at the schedule, I mean, we are running from early, early morning until late into the evening. There is stuff going on constantly that's education-related. I think people do need some downtime, too, when you're learning that much stuff. So I'm sure there should be some fun. But lots
oh,
and lots of learning,
so
too.
You are so set yourself up. Oh, we need downtime from learning. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
We rest our brains. So, and we go into it because this is all being presented to the vets, and then, you know, our job is to translate it for the horse owners. So we kind of have to crunch it around a little bit and look at it from a different perspective and then and put it on paper and into videos in a way that it's helpful for horse owners. So
I do have a question, though. You have gone to a couple of these conferences recently,
mm-hmm.
and it's
yeah.
similar to this. And mm-hmm. how much of it do you really understand? Or are you sitting there like we would be going, oh, man, I don't even have a clue what they're talking about?
So I have to say at the Infectious Disease Symposium, I did sit there in a couple sessions and just go, oh, man, I should have taken an extra chemistry class. So, you know, there are some very smart people.
I thought you were going to say, oh, man, I should have had an extra five-hour energy.
That may have helped, too. You know, it depends on what the researchers are looking at and who they're presenting to. Lots of it is very high level. You'd have to be a researcher to completely understand what's going on. Fortunately, they're all good about talking to us afterwards and breaking it down and explaining the holes that we need to fill. So, but yeah, I mean, it's all kinds of different stuff at those conferences. From, you know, the thing that really struck me, and I think I said it at the when we talked about the infectious disease symposium, that, you know, they were talking about parasites and how no one quite knows how to deworm horses and no one's quite sure what recommendations to make. And they're talking about all the research and testing they've done on that very high-level stuff. But the basic advice that they gave is keep your paddocks clean. Get your manure fork. Very
there
low technology.
Yeah, all
and,
of that broken down to the simplest things mm-hmm. usually.
Yeah, yeah. So 3 hours of discussion with the leading parasitologists in the world from all over Europe and Asia and here in the States, and then the recommendation is get that apple picker out and pick up some poop.
All right, it's time for the Weekly Health Report with TheHorse.com and Dr. Jones from Florida Equine joining us today. But Jennifer took some time to put a new bumper together. This is the holiday bumper.
Okay.
The Horse Health Report is coming to town. When you turn him out, you'd best keep him dry. In case you have doubt, I'm telling you why. The Horse Health Report is coming to town. You're getting the gist, don't roll the dice. Check water buckets, check them twice. Because the Horse Health Report is coming to town.
Aww.
Well, all right,
how
there
festive.
You go, Michelle. It's not even Thanksgiving yet, though, so we have to hold off on the Christmas songs for a while.
I don't
just
know.
Couple,
I'm feeling a little anxiety about Christmas shopping now that I listened to that.
You know, I realize, though, with Thanksgiving seeming about a week earlier than normal, that gives you a whole extra week after Thanksgiving, so don't feel pressured.
Yeah, except
so
for I'm going to be at the AAEP conference for a week in between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Doesn't even matter, though, because you're going to wait till the last minute anyway. We all do.
Yeah, that's true. Gift cards for everyone.
That's right.
Hey, Dr. Jones. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, you guys are going to talk a little bit about equine influenza, and I know that there are some cases that have been going around internationally.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Irish ponies were suspected in a French equine flu outbreak. They came over. They were bought at some sales in October, and they've now confirmed 19 cases with 2 deaths. So let's talk about how important vaccinating is. Tell us what everything is. Take it away, Michelle.
Okay. Well, yeah, so we have had this case that we've reported on thehorse.com with this sale in Ireland and spread of influenza in Europe. And then here locally where I'm at, you know, it's come up that we've had some influenza going around. So I just got back from this infectious disease symposium that we were just talking about before you joined us, Dr. Jones. And so I've seen the worst of the worst and how everything can kill my horse. So
yeah.
I wanted to talk to you this morning and get some information about what I should be doing for my horses now that we have some flu going on right now. Is this a typical time of year for influenza?
Yes, the summer times are not a high time for that because of the warm temperatures. So the bug doesn't really grow well in extreme heat. So when we get down into the cooler temperatures, you'll see more of this virus coming about.
Mm-hmm. So what are the clinical signs of equine influenza?
Same as any other snotty nose, whether it's bacterial or viral, you'll have the nasal discharge, lethargy, lack of exercise, just listless, sometimes they go off the grain. You may not even get the snotty nose initially. You can get a temperature, but not always. But the snotty nose is the key culprit that you've got an issue going on besides the listlessness or lethargy.
Okay. And you know, Jamie mentioned these cases in Europe and that a couple of horses have died from that. So that's my next question was going to be, how serious is it?
Well, it's got a higher morbidity than mortality, and those are big fancy words to say it's easier to spread than it is to die from.
Mm-hmm.
So there are cases that horses do pass away from it, but that depends on the extent of it. It's usually secondary bacterial issues going to pleuropneumonia,
mm-hmm.
Or septicemia. Those are your final culprits that would lead to death. But the flu bug itself is very contagious. And Europe itself has a very good program to try to prevent it by having passports for horses, and on their passports they're supposed to have flu vaccines done every 6 months, and they should be documented in those passports. So they really try to control it well in Europe. Here the passports aren't as required unless you're doing an FBI level show.
And at the Infectious Disease Symposium, I saw some stuff on pneumonia that was very frightening, scary stuff. And we'll be reporting on that on the horse in the coming months. But also, with the spread here in the U.S., California had some really interesting things that they've been doing to help limit the spread of infectious disease, especially influenza. Do you know of any other things that are done in the States, or is it up to show management and boarding facilities to really crack down on that getting spread?
Oh, yeah, just like they're experiencing in the racing world right now, the less government intervention, the better is the attitude. And so there really isn't any general rules, even coming from USEF, regarding housing in the animals at shows or at your own boarding facilities. I always recommend that if any new horses are coming in, just like we've discussed before on the show, they go into what they call a welcome barn, which is away from, even pastured away from the other horses. And you give them their quarantine period, I always say 1 month, but 14 to 21 days is the usual incubation period for some of these bugs to transfer or to be incubating in a horse and spread it to the next. So when you go to a show, you really can't have everybody in their own separate barn or own separate stall, so you have that risk of them being housed next to each other, and vaccines would be your best prevention in those situations, as well as not sharing water buckets and not going nose-to-nose and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And so I was also going to ask, how is it spread? So is it mostly the nose-to-nose contact, or can it be spread through, like, grooming tools, or you mentioned buckets?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you have a grooming tool that for some reason got some sort of nasal discharge on it, yeah, they call those fomites, meaning they're carriers. They don't produce more virus within that brush or rag or whatever you've got. But if you quickly go from one horse to the next, it's almost as if that horse touched nose to nose. So, yeah, keeping separate tools for each animal, whether it's a rag to wipe off their face before you go into the show ring and wipe off the saliva around the mouth, is recommended. Each horse has their own, as well as the brushing, but mostly it's nasal discharge or cough and snort. So as we've discussed before, they can go up to 35 feet when they cough or snort. And so you think about those stalls in a barn or the showgrounds, they're pretty close together, and an aisleway might be 10 feet across or it might be 12 feet across. That's still just not enough room to keep your horse safe.
Yeah. So what horses are most susceptible to influenza?
I would say those that are immune compromised. So what does that mean? That means babies, because their immune system hasn't developed quite well yet. The aged horse, who might be having some immune compromised situations due to their age. And those that are having certain disease processes going on, metabolic insufficiency, insulin resistance horse, or deficiencies and insulin resistant horses tend to be immune compromised, as well as any other ones that just maybe came off of a some sort of treatment of a wound or surgery where they had to use a lot of their fighting immune cells to battle that disease or that process, and then you ask them, you introduce them to a virus, and they're going to be more susceptible. And then, of course, stress drops your immune system, just like it does for you and I.
Mm-hmm. So if your horse is a horse that you're traveling with quite a bit, is that stress and exposure going to make them more likely
Absolutely.
To catch it if they get exposed?
Absolutely. I mean, I know there was that big herpes outbreak that we talked about months ago, and, you know, people worry about commercial hauling. You can still get flu through the commercial hauling haulers as well, too. So you need to protect your horses, whether you're hauling them or they're going commercial or you're going to a show, for these diseases. It's just like kids at a daycare. They're going to have more higher chances of getting viruses if they're in a stressed environment. They're not at their home, and then they're amongst other germ carriers because of their low immune system.
And you mentioned vaccination. What is the vaccination protocol that's recommended for influenza?
It'd be twice a year AAP recognized influenza, but can be more than that depending on your showing and your area. So if you have an outbreak, you might want to do it a little more than every 6 months for the intramuscular vaccine. And if you're at a status quo and you're just occasionally trail riding, your every 6 months might work well for you. There is another vaccine that's out there. It's an intranasal vaccine. It's a very good vaccine. Sometimes the administration of it is not so great, but the intranasal vaccine does a fantastic job of covering the mucosa of the area that gets attacked by the virus. And that vaccine is given once a year up the nose and can be very beneficial. On the babies, they still recommend every 6 months with that one because of their immune system.
Yeah, and I laugh at that because my horse, the intranasal vaccine, he never had an issue with the vet until he started getting up his nose. He really doesn't like that, so that's a lot of fun. We wait until he's knocked out, having his teeth done.
What I recommend to my clients and anybody out there in the world is that if you're going to use that vaccine and it's going to be done once a year on your horse, you usually do your dentistry once a year, or if you have a gelding, teeth cleaning, that might need sedation, do it while they're sedate. And make it a very, easy experience for the owner, the veterinarian, and the horse, because it can be a little dangerous when they're getting quite upset with the intranasal.
So in my area, we did have our local equine hospital posted on Facebook that they'd had some cases of influenza, or had seen some cases, and just they put out the clinical signs so that everyone was aware of it. And so I ran out and to my feed store and bought vaccines for my horses. Should I talk to my vet before I give those, or because they're over the counter?
Yeah, if you're using the intranasal, you may not have to booster it, so definitely talk to your vet about your boostering program. And some of the feed store vaccines, there's different variations on the flu, and we could get into the specifics of it, and I would actually refer you to an immunologist on that discussion, because they have like the Kentucky 94 and all different varieties of flu bugs in that vaccine. And you really need to know which variety is in your outbreak, and your veterinarian would be a little bit more apt at guiding you down to the proper vaccine that would cover that particular outbreak. It is not difficult to diagnose it, but it's a viral swab that they do of the nose. It's not your typical culture you would do for a bacterial infection. It's a viral swab. Has to be sent off to particular labs for that viral swab to be evaluated appropriately. So you know, plan to spend a little extra time in getting your results back and maybe a little extra money in getting the diagnosis. But it's good to differentiate it from the rhinovirus, which also can cause snotty noses, but that's also the one that, which is also called herpes, the one that most people get frightened about because of the neurologic form. So it's good to differentiate from one to the other and know that you've got influenza and not the rhinopneumonitis or the herpes.
And in the end, it seems like vaccination is just such an inexpensive way to protect our horses from these contagious diseases that could cause much bigger problems.
Yeah, it's the cheapest way to go. I tell people that, you know, granted it's a snotty nose, not too many horses would die from a snotty nose, especially if you jump on treating it right away. And when you have a snotty nose, though, and you have show horses, even amateur riders that are working 40 hours a week to pay for that wonderful pet they've got, that horse they've got, and pay for the shows they go to, you don't want any downtime of, oh, now I can't ride for the next week because I've got snotty noses I'm treating. And, you know, the old clinical suggestion is you should have a week off of riding for every one day of fever. So if your influenza has a fever with it and the fever lasts for 2 or 3 days, you're losing 2 or 3 weeks per the clinical, as we call it, ivory tower recommendation. And, you know, in my practice, I can't tell my client take a week off for one day of fever because they won't listen to me. They won't do it. If I get 3 days or 4 days, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But that's what's recommended, is a week off for every day of fever. And if you think about your time of conditioning that horse, that's a lot of time off.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. And to bring them back from that.
Yeah, and if you have
multiple
horses in your barn and you came back from the show and yours got flu and the next door horse got flu and the next door, you're going to make some enemies in your barn that you're at. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just a very inexpensive way to take care of the horses, do the vaccinations. And again, if you're at a higher risk, you need to possibly do them a little bit more often, or maybe consider the intranasal one. But again, there is those troubles of putting things up their nose and spraying. You might want to just do it with your dentistry.
No. And a couple tidbits that I picked up at the Infectious Disease Symposium that really hit home with me, and I put them in my blog a couple weeks ago. Make sure when you get those vaccines, if you are getting them from your feed store, check the expiration date and keep them on ice and chilled before you administer them. So I picked that up, and I'm going to be very good about that going forward.
Well, and also kind of with that said, you guys, I was in my local feed store and look, I saw the vaccines in there and I was looking around and, you know, I'm only going to buy them from my veterinarian and get them actually given by the veterinarian, because a lot of times for certain things you need a vaccination history or a shot record. And you could be like, well, I think I gave it to them on November, maybe October, I don't know. But your vet has very good records, and it's kind of proof that you vaccinated. The other thing is, when you buy your vaccines from the feed store, you guys, please look at them. I saw a floater in one of the vaccines. Like, when I say floater, this little random piece of, I think, maybe plastic that was floating around in the vaccine. So please look at your vaccines that you're buying at the feed stores. Make sure they're all good to go, because, again, I'm sure this has got to be dangerous. Who knows what that was floating around in there? So just be careful by doing that. Get it from a reputable place. That's all I'm saying.
There is another benefit, and of course I'm a veterinarian. There's another benefit from getting it from a veterinarian is, and I'm looking right at the certificate we give out from a particular pharmaceutical company that is an equine immunization support guarantee. So if your horse does come down with the flu, they will pay for the testing of the virus and all your treatment that's required. Now, granted, they're not going to pay for your lost training days, but they're going to pay for reasonable support diagnostic protocols and treatments up to $5,000, because they believe
Wow.
that they're making a great product. As long as it's been administered by a veterinarian, they realize it's been administered on a good protocol, they support their product. And it's this one particular pharmaceutical company that will do that. The other ones, I'm sure, will follow suit, because I have run into situations where horses got sick. The clients, and they were at boarding board, the clients got upset. I called the company, and they willingly paid for diagnostics and treatments of those horses once they found out it was, you know, a rhino, a herpes snotty nose, or a flu snotty nose. They paid for it. and there was not even a blink of an eye. The other thing, too, and I really support this wholeheartedly, is if you get a vaccine reaction, they will pay for your vaccine reaction. They will pay for the bute you have to buy just to keep that abscess pain-free and whatever else, you know, the vet visit to come out to say, yeah, you got a vaccine reaction here. I'm dispensing some bute and in a hot pack or whatever. They're going to pay for that visit. So don't be hesitant to, A, call about problems with a vaccine that was given by a veterinarian to your veterinarian. And also, you can educate your veterinarian. They may not know it. Tell them, what company did you use? I prefer not to use that company anymore. I'd like to use a different company. And would you please call that company and give them the batch number and tell them I had a reaction? They don't know. If we don't get called, we should pass it back on to the pharmaceutical companies, which we do in my practice, to let them know, hey, we got a reaction to that vaccine. Those companies really want to know because they want to better make their product, because that's their fight against each other, is my vaccine is better than that vaccine because I don't get reactions.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You heard it from straight from the vet's mouth. Get your vaccine. Listen, you take yours back, Michelle, and you get it from a veterinarian, okay?
I talked to my vet. I did. I just played dumb, but I did talk to my vet before I got those. So.
Mm-hmm. And with your luck, you should call a vet just to have your vet come out. All right, you
thank
guys.
You.
We got
thank
to-
you, Jamie.
Yeah, you're welcome. You are
bye.
Welcome. Hey, you guys, we got to go. We're wrapping it up today. But, y'all, we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much for the information. Bye,
all
right, y'all.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See,
well, we only
I'm
have a couple
on
minutes.
Side.
Yeah, you really were supporting there. I wanted to say before we wrap up here, we only have a couple minutes, that so far the votes are in, and out of 11 votes, they're all saying you should get that jailbird for that student.
Yeah, I kind of knew we were going to go that way. I wanted more an opinion on him, like Celeste put, he's got a lovely trot, a little unbalanced in the canter. But again, he's been standing in a stall for a year and a half, so he's going to be a little unbalanced. But that's what I liked about him was his disposition. And so that's kind of more of what I wanted, not just get him, he's cute. I wanted more like, well, let's see, Katie Murphy wrote, he seems like a patient, non-reactive fellow, but the white socks make him look fancy. So, you know, you can't take the girl out of the whole equation here because he's so pretty.
That's right. Well, you know what? You don't think that they borrow drugs from the inmates before you come out, do you? To tone them down a bit. Just saying.
Well, what? You hush. No. You hush your mouth. Hey, I did like Judy Shepherd agreeing with me that a cat's mission in life is to try to make you trip and break your neck. So they try to kill you in every single way.
That is true.
That is so true.
And on that note, we're going to call it a day. Don't forget, you can listen to all the past episodes of Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com. You can subscribe through iTunes and get the show automatically downloaded to your phone or your MP3 player or your iPod. Just search for Horses in the Morning on iTunes as well. You can listen to us on your phone live every day at horsesinthemorning.mobi. I got a couple of emails, Jamie, in the last week with people having trouble getting the links to work. I tested everything yesterday on an iPhone, on an Android. I tested the computers. Everything was working fine, so it might have just been an anomaly last week. But horsesinthemorning.mobi does appear to work on Androids and iPhones. So if you want to listen live, you can do it that way as well. That's it for today. We'll be back here again on Friday. Don't forget Really Bad Ads. We have the prize, the Bling Band for helmets. It's going to be the prize. Get your ad into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com and get it in by Thursday evening.
All right, everybody. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
And
wear your helmet. And dart.